Pearl Church exists to express a sacred story and to extend a common table that animate life by love. A primary expression of our sacred story is the weekly sermon. If our sermons inspire you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully, would you consider supporting our work? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.
God, here we are, the final Sunday of 2024, and it has been quite a year. As we spend this time together today, in both reflection and anticipation, I ask you to meet each one of us with a gift or insight that will give us what we need to take our first steps into all that this new year holds. As we celebrate Christmastide and continue our journey through the rhythms of the church calendar again, help us to find comfort and inspiration together. Amen, and please be seated. Hello, Pearl family. My name is Jen Johnson, pronouns are she, her. I'm not one of the pastors here at Pearl, for those of you who are new, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to share with you all today. My family's been here at Pearl for about 4 years now, and I'm very happy to have them all with me. We credit our daughter Kaya with getting us here to Pearl. During the height of COVID, when the rhythms of life were just totally upended, she was really wanting a youth group space that was welcoming and affirming, and she bravely reached out to Pearl Youth and started participating in events, and then we kind of all got pulled in, and it didn't take long, even when things were still all virtual, for Pearl to feel like home. So here we are. Another place I feel very connected and at home is in my garden. So that's where I'd like us to start together this morning. Go back with me to the fall, October. The days were getting colder, darker, literally and metaphorically. With the season changing, I just wasn't outside as much anymore, which always makes me a little sad. What I observed from inside was the changing colors of the leaves, blooms fading, lots of things getting ready to sleep for the winter. Then November arrived. I'm sure we can all recall a significant event from the first Tuesday of that fateful month. So later that week, I had a note to myself to make a small bouquet for a coworker for their birthday. Normally, I love doing flower arrangements for my yard, but everything just felt so bleak. What I could see of my yard from inside the house was uninspiring, and I did not expect to find much out there. And also, I just didn't feel like it. But by God's infinite grace, you may remember, we had some sunshine peek through the clouds that week. So I went out to the garden. Getting down in the wet dirt for a closer look, I did find some beautiful fall blooms. I hadn't expected much, and yet there they were. My salvia and snapdragons especially caught me by surprise. Not only were there some gorgeous deep fall colors, friends, there was new growth, like bright, tender green baby leaves and little blossoms just starting to open, and they seemed to whisper, yeah, we know. The nights are long. It's wetter. It's colder. It's darker. We're still growing. Friends, moments like this are why I find my yard a deeply spiritual place to hang out. Snapdragons and salvia held the hope that my soul needed that day. They invited me to consider what is possible, even when the growing conditions are less than ideal. The garden has since drifted into a well-earned sleep for winter, but that image has stayed with me, and it has some relevance for us here today. A couple months ago, when Mike invited me to speak, I wondered how long it would take me to discern a topic. He left it real open-ended. Unfortunately, it came quickly. I had so many ideas pass through my brain, like really good ideas, and I was aiming for kind of a speak from what you know sort of vibe, and I ended up at my own very tender growth edge on a word I have a very up and down relationship with, acceptance. It's a theme that's definitely been planted and watered within me for a good long time, but these little leaves are very new, friends. So here we go. Thanks for being with me. The word acceptance has a lot of different meanings, and we're probably all having something come to mind, and it's probably not all the same thing. So I'm going to give you a little personal example, and we'll get on the same page here. In May of 2023, I lost my job. I was working for a Christian nonprofit based here in Portland. It exists to partner with small organizations in East Africa that are doing incredible work on behalf of vulnerable children there. It was a job I was very good at and work I cared deeply about. However, my employment there was terminated because of something else I also care deeply about. The executive director decided that it was no longer a good idea to keep someone on staff whose personal theological beliefs could be described as progressive or affirming. I'd been there for 9 years, and I'd been very open about all that from the beginning, but for reasons I probably won't ever fully understand, he informed me that it was time to part ways. Of course, there's much more to that story, but for today's purposes, the point is this. I did not want this to be true. I could not accept it. I had spent a lot of time and energy and words trying to prevent this from going down the way it did. And then after it went down the way it did, I spent a lot of time and energy and words trying to make it somehow different from what it actually was. I was thinking about everything I had hoped to be part of in this organization that was now taken away. I was analyzing my former boss through a lens clouded by deep and warranted frustration. This is not right. This is not okay. This should not have gone like this. It would be accurate to characterize this time as being marked by a notable lack of acceptance. I had spent so much energy attempting to rewrite history and focusing on the future I had lost. I didn't put energy towards seeking the peace and healing I needed, or on caring for myself well in the present. In fact, I found it deeply uncomfortable to be present in the present, so I was putting my energy into just about anything else. This may come as a surprise, friends, but I'm here to tell you that wishing that something was different did not, in fact, make it different. And that energy did not come back. It was used up and gone, and I was depleted. So, acceptance. For the purposes of where we're going together today, let's just define acceptance. Acceptance is acknowledging and being present to what is, rather than straining back toward a past I can't change or toward a future I cannot accurately predict. Acknowledging and being present to what is, instead of straining back toward a past I can't change or toward a future I cannot accurately predict. It's staying grounded in the present, even if it's uncomfortable. Practicing acceptance is directing my energy toward meeting myself and meeting the divine right here. I chose Luke 15 for today's reading, a familiar story to most of us, I'm sure, so you might have noticed that I stopped it in a slightly awkward place. The younger son returns home, receives the father's loving embrace, gives his short planned speech about how he's not worthy to be called a son anymore, and cut. There's more to that parable, and we will get there, but wrestling with this theme of acceptance got me pausing there to look at this familiar passage differently than I have before. It's commonly known as the prodigal son story, right? Prodigal referring to the reckless spending by the younger son as he wastes his share of the inheritance. But this time we're going to think in terms of emotional expenditure. We don't know what this kid's issue was. Before he even approached his father, he must have been stewing, plotting, wishing, reaching towards something else. I need to get away from here. I want to go far, far away. Something out there is better than this. Whatever drove him to make his audacious request, it was not acceptance of his current reality. Before he spent a single coin of that inheritance, he had spent a lot of time and energy trying to wish his current reality away. He was granted his share, had some expensive and reckless adventures, large expenditures of money, sure. But again, let's look at emotional expenditure. That is a lot of energy directed into major distractions. Whatever he was spending his money on out there, he wasn't doing any deep inner work at the time. It sounds more like he was drastically changing his external circumstances as a way to escape his internal circumstances. Relatable? Anyone? Any of you? Just me, maybe? Okay. At some point, he was done. Okay, not just at some point, it was specifically the point at which all the distractions had evaporated and he was considering eating pig feed. The scripture says he came to himself. He took a good look at the reality of the situation and he made an honest assessment of it. Friends, I detect acceptance here. It was uncomfortable. It was not easy. And yet he was finally present. Here I am, he says. Here I am, dying of hunger. How many workers at my father's house have bread to spare? That posture of acceptance opens him up to new ideas and new possibilities. Okay, I did wrong by my father, and maybe I could become a worker, and maybe here's what I could say. Granted, his options were real limited at this point, and yet from that place of acceptance, the option he chose was to head for home. We could generously characterize this as a healing journey. Maybe he did some inner work along the way. Or maybe he was just desperate and at the end of himself. Either way, his energy was now being spent on that walk back, even though he didn't know what would happen when he got there. So Jesus offers us a beautiful and deeply moving image of an overjoyed father who's been watching and waiting and runs out to greet the son he feared he had lost. Compassion, joy, celebration. It's almost too much to take in, isn't it? The way that divine love rejoices any and every time we return home. Divine love rejoices any and every time we return home. What about that older son? How did he spend his mental and emotional energy? It wasn't on the flashy distractions of reckless living, but he spent it on something. He also wanted something to be different. We don't know what, but we get the picture that he was angry, bitter, closed off. It sounds like he might have spent his energy digging himself a big hole right there on the home plate so he could just hunker down with his growing resentment. These are not the hallmarks of acceptance. Although he had never left the premises, he also needed to come home. His journey away looks different from his younger brothers, and so does his journey back. When he is approached by the father, who implores him to join in the celebration, the elder son lets it all fly. It's not pretty. It's not comfortable. You can read that part for yourself on your own time if you want. But it is honest. And it's a conversation that the father embraces just as eagerly as he embraced the younger son. You are always with me. All that I have is yours. You are always with me. All that I have is yours. What happens from there, friends? Like every good story, this deeply impactful parable of Jesus leaves me wondering, and then what? Was the younger son able to fully receive his father's love? Did it transform him? Could he forgive himself? Was the older son able to grasp the truth of his father's words? All that I have is yours. Did he release his resentment and live differently alongside his family? Jesus didn't offer those details. But what Jesus lets me know for sure is this. Divine love stands watching, waiting, absolutely ready to meet me. Divine love stands watching, waiting, absolutely ready to meet you. No matter how far we are, no matter how often we wander away, we can always come home. Like our reading from the Hebrew scriptures today, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. One thing I took away from exploring this well-known story in a way I never have before is that the practice of acceptance is a divine gift. It opens us up to encountering divine love, who's waiting eagerly to meet us with what we most need. Friends, it took me a long time to even begin to grasp this. My main complaint to God over the years about this idea of acceptance can be summed up as, but why? Followed closely by, this is very hard. If I'm going to do this very challenging thing and practice being present to stuff that is very uncomfortable and that I would rather spend my energy avoiding, give me the why. Help me understand the purpose here. At my own very tender growth edge, here's what I've learned so far. So we're going to break this down in a few categories. What acceptance is not, what acceptance is, and why it's hard. I hope it helps us discover if this divine gift is worth receiving. Okay, so what it's not. It's not denial or settling. Telling myself, this is good, this is okay, simply because that's easier than facing the truth that it's actually not. At the other end of the spectrum, acceptance is also not defeat or resignation, giving in completely to the darkness. This will never change. This cannot be stopped. Nothing can impact this. It's best to give up. For those of you who find personal examples helpful, it's your lucky day, because I have done both denial and defeat within the same relationship with a family member. There is a long and complicated history between us, and I have desperately wanted the two of us to be close, according to my own definition of close, of course. I spent a good long chunk of years in denial, convincing myself that I had done it. I think we're good. Things have improved. This is fine. It's all good. We're on a great path as long as I keep doing everything correctly and carefully, which of course I will. I convinced myself of these stories right up until they all fell apart during a tumultuous era commonly known as the pandemic. Sparing you all the ensuing details of pain and hurt, I ended up at the other end of the spectrum in deep defeat. This is awful. There's no point in trying. This has always been bad. It will never be good. And therefore, I will never work at this again. So that's what acceptance is not. When it's your own story, the nuances can actually be a little hard to spot. So I try to pay attention to how much energy is going into like mental gymnastics and convincing myself, or how closed off I feel to hope or possibility. What acceptance is, the phrase I land on most often, is so simple and so hard for me. This is. This is. This is happening. This is real. Like the younger son in the pig pen, here I am. I'm here. It's a shift from resistance or wishing into presence or attending. Attending to our current pain or emotions. Being present with the reality of a very hard choice or situation. In that place of acceptance, maybe we find curiosity, openness, objectivity. Or maybe none of that, and simply the willingness to sit with the discomfort, even though we'd really rather not. For me, with that family member, I practice sitting with all the true and painful and, yeah, even good things that don't seem like they can all share space. And somewhere in between, it's fine, it's good, and it's terrible, it's awful. I find space to accept that we might never connect the way I would ideally choose. I don't know if we will or not. I'm not in control of that. I can hope that we don't do each other more harm. I also find myself asking, how can I care for myself well within this relationship? With losing my job, I had a conversation with a coworker whose insights I really value and respect. He answered some of my toughest questions as honestly as he could from his perspective. And at that point, I just asked myself, am I ready to shift where I'm spending my energy? spending it on furiously trying to rewrite the past while shaking my fists at the lost future is costing me too much, and I'm depleted. This happened. I'm here. God, will you meet me here? I felt a sense of compassion for myself and a desire to use my energy to cultivate some internal peace. So I found acceptance to be a place from which I can answer yes to these questions. Am I more open to possibilities? Am I moving toward or deepening into a connection to divine love? It's not easy. Let's talk about why it's not easy. To be clear, these are no fun to say, and I have not made peace with any of them. For starters, it's just a bit counterintuitive. This is work that we do around things that are tough, things that deeply unsettle us, the realities of pain, loss, grief, injustice. So that first big challenge is just making the connection between those big, hard, and we might even want to say unacceptable things, and even the idea of acceptance. And then practicing acceptance invites us to let go of control or of the outcome we want. Ugh. It invites us to change patterns that are really ingrained that may have even served us in the past. Practicing acceptance invites us to suspend judgment, to stay with this is. When we feel so compelled to do the mental gymnastics to make it okay or lay out the rock solid proof that it's indeed terrible, but just stay with this is. It also, and this is probably the hardest one for me, it sheds light on where our understanding or even our experience of who God is breaks down, brings us to the very outer edges of our growing faith and trust in divine love. So, is it worth it? I have answered this question in many different ways. You can too. On a very practical level, we are limited, finite humans. Hate to break it to you. Totally true. We have only so much capacity. So what are we spending it on? As much as I have resisted this gift of acceptance, I have to concede that practicing it does channel my limited, finite mental and emotional energy in ways that lead to things like healing, transformation, integration. There are some real benefits to that. Also, we've just come through this journey of Advent, and we now celebrate the love and light that Jesus came to share with us. So practicing acceptance helps me experience that love and light with deep internal impact. And it points me in the direction of home again and again. And the more time I spend in the spaciousness and openness and loving warmth of home, the more I can embody its light and love as I connect with myself and with others around me. So it's not easy. And it's for you to discern if it's worth it. So as we close, will you come back to the garden with me? I didn't know what I would find, and I actively resisted that change of season. It's cold, it's wet, it's dark, it's sad, and everything is dying. I didn't know what I would find, and I shifted from resistance to accepting. I'll step outside for a closer look. Maybe I'll find something. I didn't know what I would find, and I was surprised by bright green, tender leaves and vibrant, brave blossoms. Conditions are not ideal, and yet, new growth. This feels like hope. So what will you all find in the practice of acceptance? What new possibilities will you see? How will you be replenished or filled up? I don't know. I hope you find out. There is a deeply compassionate divine love with unlimited capacity to hold all that you have been struggling to hold, eagerly waiting to welcome you home. Let's pray. God, in complete honesty, taking you up on this invitation to practice acceptance is not easy. In your infinite compassion and creativity, would you meet us where we are and help deepen our trust in the welcoming embrace of your unlimited love?
We hope that this sermon inspired you to ponder the sacred, to consider the mystery and love of God, and to live bountifully. If you don't already support our work, will you begin today? You can donate easily and securely at our website, pearlchurch.org, or follow the link in the podcast notes. Thank you for partnering with us in expressing this sacred story.